We've all been there. We've all been discouraged. We've all been disheartened, disappointed. Maybe somebody else has disappointed us. Or maybe we've disappointed somebody else. And then we're disappointed in ourselves. We've all been down. We've all struggled. We've all woke up one morning, found that we're not even sure where we are anymore. Like, how did I get here? We've all been in that place where you're just confused because you don't really understand what's going on anymore. And even as Christians, we go through times of trials and tribulations, and we struggle sometimes if we're being honest. Our vision statement here, sharing the love of Jesus to bring new life to broken and hurting people. You know why? Because I have yet to meet anybody who hasn't been broken and hurting at some point in their life. And we've all struggled. We've all faced that confusion of going, I don't know what's going on. And if we're being honest, there's been times where we go, I don't know what God's plan is. And we've probably said, I don't even know if God has a plan. And we've wondered sometimes, does God even care anymore? Have I done so many bad things? Have I walked away too far? Am I irredeemable? And now God just has let me go and He doesn't care anymore? And when you find yourself in that place, that is a hard, hard place to be. And there may be someone here this morning who is in that situation. Or maybe you're not in that situation this morning, but it wasn't that long ago that you found yourself in that dark place. And you're coming out of it now because you're back to church, and I thought I'll try church again and see if maybe that'll help out, and I'm going to try something different. And so you've been kind of coming out of the dark place, but you still have that draw and that pull back into it. Because you have those moments or you have those days where it just isn't working well, and you just kind of, the temptation is to sink back into despair. And if you're here and you're that way this morning, it is my earnest prayer, and it has been my earnest prayer all week, that when you walk out those doors, you do not walk out the same. Because you do not have to walk out those doors the same way you came in those doors. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is hope. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know that no matter where you find yourself, God can raise you up out of the pit that you find yourself in. And you're not alone. Those closest to Jesus Christ when He walked this earth were in the same place at one point. Those of His closest followers, His 12 or His 11 at this point, that we call apostles, and then His disciples, and the ladies that followed Him and went to the tomb, about what we read earlier, they found themselves in this dark and lonely place of despair and confusion because they weren't sure what in the world happened, what was going on. They spent 3 years walking with Jesus. They saw Him heal sick people in ways they couldn't even imagine. They saw Him cast out demons. And they were in awe as they were in a boat and a hurricane was bearing down on them. And all He did was go, shh, be quiet. And the hurricane went, okay, and left. And it was just calm. And they were amazed, going, who in the world is this? And for 3 years, they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And for 3 years, they heard Him teach and preach and say things that was transforming the world, turning the world upside down, and He was transforming their hearts. And now 3 years later, they had come to the firm conclusion that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, Savior of the world. And then something happened. He got arrested. And in the middle of the night, when they came to arrest Him, they saw Him say a word and knock everybody down. So, That was close. But then when they got back up, you know what Jesus did? He went with them. He willingly let himself be arrested. And they're like, he didn't have to. We saw him do so many things. Surely he could have escaped if he wanted to. And then overnight, in an illegal trial, they heard it. He was convicted of claiming to be God. And if he claimed to be God, he must be killed. Well, surely Jesus, with all his power, is not going to let that happen, right? And then they watch from a distance as Pilate walks out after interviewing Jesus and putting him under trial and going, I don't find anything wrong. I find no fault with him. He's guiltless. And so Pilate, trying to get out of this mess, not because he had believed in Jesus, but because he just didn't want a riot on his hands, he goes, all right, I got to release one of your prisoners. You want Jesus or you want Barabbas? Okay, surely. I mean, Barabbas is a career criminal. He's a rebel. He has caused all kinds of problems. Surely people wouldn't want that guy to be released. And sure enough, Barabbas was released and Jesus was kept arrested. What's happening? What's going on? And then the next time you see him, he's beaten. He's battered. He's bruised. He's got a crown of thorn on his head. Blood is pouring down. He's carrying a cross up Calvary. And he gets so weak he has to have help. And they don't understand. And then they watch from a distance. His nails are put through his hands and his feet. And he's lifted up on that cross, and that cross is set down in that holder. And they watch as he suffers the most excruciating death anyone can suffer. And it's only for the worst of the criminals. Yet we thought he was God. You can't kill God, can you? But he died. And now it's Friday night. And now they're scared. Are they coming after us next? Are we going to be arrested next? And I'm sure Friday night was sleepless. It would have been for me. And then Saturday is supposed to be Sabbath, the day of celebration. But I'm sure that their celebration, if they had one, was muted because we thought he was coming to establish a kingdom and save the world. But then he died. So now we don't know what's going on. And they're confused. And they're broken and hurting. And frustrated and angry. And they're doubting God's plan. And they're wondering, does God even care? Can you relate with those emotions? Can you relate with the apostles in that moment? Then Sunday morning, something begins to change. The ladies, they go to the tomb at sunrise because they want to finish preparing him for burial. They did not go to the tomb expecting to see the tomb empty. They went to the tomb to continue to prepare a body for burial. And when they walk up, the stone is gone and the tomb is empty and they see angels. And in their excitement, they run and they tell his best friends, they tell the apostles, the tomb is empty. And now everybody's really confused. What's going on? Because they've seen an empty tomb, but they've not seen Jesus. It's one thing to look into an empty tomb. It's another thing to look into the face of the Son of God. And that's where we find these two gentlemen I want to talk to you about this morning. It's found in Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, it says, now behold, two of them, two of Jesus' disciples, not apostles, disciples, they were traveling that same day, Easter morning. They were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So it was probably a couple hours walk home. So they're going home. They're discouraged. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. It says, and they talked together of all these things, things which had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew and went near with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. For some reason, Jesus and God kept them from recognizing him at that moment. Now, I'm sure he looked different after the beating he took, and all the scars on his head, his hands, his body. I'm sure he looked different. But God restrained their vision for a moment. And so now they're walking along, confused and hurting, and Jesus is walking right beside them, but they don't even recognize it. Have you ever been in a place where you've been confused and hurting and forgot all about the fact that Jesus was walking right next to you the whole time? We have to constantly remember that the Holy Spirit living in us is walking with us, even when we're sad. And he said, Jesus said to him, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are what? They didn't know he was alive. They're still in this place, and we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going on. Our entire lives have been destroyed. Everything we believed in has fallen flat on its face, and now we don't know what to do. That's where they are. But Jesus is standing right there. And so, and I love reading the conversations that Jesus has with people in the Gospels. He is just so amazing at talking with people, getting them to open up, revealing their hearts, and then pointing them to the truth. But then it's always sad when you see somebody walk away from the truth. But man, the rejoicing, like last week with Zacchaeus, remember how that man was transformed when he met Jesus? Jesus' conversations with people are just fascinating to me. So he has that question. Well, the one who was named Cleopas, he answers and he says to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and you have not known the things which have happened there in these days? They're like, are you kidding me? You don't know what's going on? I mean, it's only the biggest event of the year. The entire nation's here, and it's only been the biggest story during the biggest event of the year, and you haven't heard about it? Well, he said to them, what things? He's drawing them out. He's talking with them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And I want you to look at this. This is important. This gives us insight into what they're thinking. He was a what? He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Was he a prophet? No, he was not a prophet. He was the Son of God. And it's one thing to believe Jesus is a prophet and a teacher and a rabbi. It's another thing to understand and know the truth that he is Son of God and that he is God. Because if he's just a prophet or a priest, you can dismiss him. But if he's the Son of God and you dismiss him, then there are eternal consequences to it. And they went from believing that he was the Son of God to now they're like, well, maybe he was just a prophet. Maybe God's got another plan. So they thought, well, he's a prophet. Well, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We really thought he was the one. Well, indeed, besides all this, today's the third day since these things happened. It's 3 days later, it's still a mess, and we're still confused. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but him they didn't see. So they'd heard that the tomb was empty, but they couldn't find anybody that said they'd actually seen Jesus. So what's going on? We're confused. We don't know. And then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken, referring to the entire Old Testament, the Scriptures, the Bible. How many times have you been slow of heart to believe what the Bible says? How many times have we been slow of heart to believe what God actually has to say for us? How many times have we been slow of heart and have forgotten the promises that God has made to us? Promises to give us a new hope and new life. Promises like John 10:10 from Jesus' words when he said, I've come that you will have life and have it more abundantly. How many times have we been slow of heart to believe even though it's right there in the Word of God? And he gently rebukes them. Because even in the midst of their confusion and their despair, they should have hung on to their faith in God and His plans. Just like you and I, in the midst of trials and troubles and tribulations and struggles, we cannot let go of our faith in the truth of the Word of God. He goes, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? In other words, wasn't this the plan all along? Don't you know? Don't you understand? This was the plan all along? And beginning at Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, and all the prophets, referring to the rest of the Old Testament, it's a way of saying the entire Old Testament, the entire Scriptures. So from Moses to the end, as they're walking along on this trip, he expounded or taught or explained, he explained to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. He began to explain how this was a part of the plan all along. Just read the Bible. Understand it. If you don't understand it, pray. God will help you understand it. So he begins to explain the Old Testament to them to prove to them that it was the proper thing for the Messiah to die, even though they didn't quite understand it. Well, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. Well, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, or stay here with us for a while. For it's toward evening now, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And what does that verse remind you of? Did it remind anybody of anything? He says, feeding the 5,000. What did you say, Erica? The Last Supper. He broke bread like we did Friday night. We broke bread as we sat with the Lord's Supper for a while. He breaks bread. He blesses it. He prays over it. And then he gives it to them. And I wish I could have been a fly on the wall at what happens next. I would have been dying laughing. I'd have been rolling in the floor because right, their eyes were open and they knew him. When they see him give the bread, like, it's Jesus. And what happens? He's gone. I can't imagine. The moment you recognize him, he disappears. And it's a miracle proving he's who he says he is. But can you imagine you're sitting there and all you finally recognize? I've been talking to this guy for a couple hours, and now I finally understand it's Jesus, and then he up and left now? Come back. I got more questions. Right? And since he just vanished, it wasn't like they could run down the road after him. And maybe that's why he vanished, because he didn't want them hanging on, because he had some other place he had to go. But their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he vanished from their sight. Another miracle. More proof. More evidence. So what did they do? They went and turned on the TV and watched football. No, they didn't do that. They didn't have TVs. They were so excited. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the Scriptures to us? Have you ever felt that burning in your heart and in your soul? Have you ever been in a church service and the preacher's preaching and you felt that right there? That's not the preacher, by the way. That's the Holy Spirit. Has your heart ever burned as you've read the Scriptures? It's God speaking to you. Don't ignore that. Has your heart ever burned because God was whispering in your ear? So their hearts burned within us. So they rose up. That I remember. It's evening. They've already had a long journey. And as they're walking home, they're sad. This time they're walking back towards Jerusalem. I think it was a whole different ballgame. I think they were walking a lot faster. Heads up. They were thrilled. They could not wait to get. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. So they went back and they found the apostles. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed. He is risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon. So when the 11 saw them, they started sharing stories. Like these two who just came from Emmaus, like, this is what happened to us. And the 11 were like, well, Peter went, and Peter has seen Jesus. And now their lives are transformed because of the resurrection. And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. They began to share their stories of the resurrection. You know what stories they were? My friend, it is Resurrection Sunday. And because it is Resurrection Sunday, we are reminded that God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside. You have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. So if you walk through those doors this morning down and depressed, discouraged, not sure what's going on, confused, there is hope in new life. There is hope that things can and will get better when you begin to follow Jesus. My friend, it's one thing to believe in an empty tomb. It's another thing to follow the man that walked out of that empty tomb. It is one thing to say, I believe in the resurrection. It is another thing to live like you know that Jesus is alive and that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Resurrection Sunday means that everything can be made new. Because of Resurrection Sunday, prodigal children can come home. Because of Resurrection Sunday, broken marriages can be restored. Because of Resurrection Sunday, alcoholics can get sober. Drug addicts can kick their addictions. Because of Resurrection Sunday, men who are entrapped and addicted to pornography can break free from the curse of pornography. Friendships can be restored. Churches can be revitalized. Because of Resurrection Sunday, there is hope for a glorious and bright future. There is hope that is found that can never be taken away. And I don't know what it was like for you when you came through the doors earlier, but I know what it can be like when you walk out. Because of Jesus, because of the resurrection, you can walk out a different person. If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, yeah, you go to church. Yeah, you call yourself a Christian. Yeah, you sort of play around the edges of this thing that we call Christianity. But there's never been that time where you've confessed your sins before God and say, Lord, I need a Savior. Romans 10:13, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never done that, I pray that today is the day, because your dead soul can be made alive and you can walk out of this place rested and revived because of the resurrection. And maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, but things have been tough lately, or I've been kind of on the fence lately, or you've been apathetic. You sort of let things slide between you and your relationship with God. You've sort of taken things for granted, and it's not really been as empowering as it used to be. There was a time in your life where you were excited to serve God, but now you're just kind of like, I don't know, it's just a lot of work, and I don't know if I really want to put the effort in. If you're that place, if you find yourself apathetic, I pray that you don't walk out those doors the same way. Because when what Jesus did for you, he took the nails, did he not? He took the beatings. He died on the cross, and he shed his blood for you. And because of Resurrection Sunday, that hope and that spirit within you can be restored. Because of Jesus, you can be transformed. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the worship team comes, what is it